The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. We just completed our 6-week series on the existence of God on Tuesday nights, and I think that those who attended the class found it to be quite worthwhile. It was pretty academic in many ways, the discussion of how the tradition of the church has defined and understood the mystery of the Trinity throughout all these many centuries. And one that seemed to have a great deal of resonance with many of the people who attended the class was the example that St. Augustine gives as an analogy that sort of begins to speak about this mystery of God. He says, if you take the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can compare it to the way human beings are made, not in their physical appearance, because certainly God has no flesh and bones. God actually isn't even a person, as most people think. God is being in three persons. But St. Augustine tries to get to this mystery by saying, if we think about God the Father as corresponding to our mind, then as our mind develops concepts, there becomes a self-understanding. Like, you can imagine yourself, right? You can even speak about yourself in the third person. What was I thinking, you might say. Well, that self-understanding that we might have is something that could correspond to the Son, the one who is being begotten in all eternity. And then finally, that love that results from knowing self, being living in that knowledge, that love corresponds to the Holy Spirit. Love, not like you might say, well, I love pizza. Or you might even say, I love my wife or husband. But love as it is classically designed as that desire to know, and then that desire to will or to seek the good for that beloved. Love is, by definition, really an orientation away from yourself to another person, and finally has its full meaning in sharing yourself completely with that other. Well, this turning away from self is what we need to begin with on this first Sunday of Lent. Turning away from self, the first step really to conversion. There is nothing more satisfying to a confessor in the sacrament of penance Then when finally someone comes to the realization, after perhaps confessing the same kinds of things for even years, they finally come to this realization where they say, I don't have this problem anymore. This sin seems to have fallen away from my life. And I ask them why. They say, because I finally realized that this is not who I am. What I've been doing has nothing to do with who I am. So this self-knowledge is what we find in the first reading from Deuteronomy today. The people are reminded of where they come from. You are a people who were once aliens. And in your adversity, you were able somehow to become successful and to be where you are today. But do not become proud of that, because remember that you were delivered from slavery by the hand of God himself. You were delivered and you were given what you have today. That image of land is a very rich figure of the way God has given us everything that we have in our lives today, the way he gave that land to the Israelites. And now we stand before God knowing who we are. Do we really know who we are, though, is the question. Does the world today really understand who they are as a person who stands before God? Well, Jesus in the gospel today has just arrived from his baptism in the Jordan. The scripture says he is filled with the Holy Spirit. St. Luke tells this story about how he was driven by the Spirit directly into the desert, an odd way to begin your public life, isn't it? For 40 days, he ate nothing, fasting in the desert. And we would be led to believe that because a result of this fasting is self-knowledge, that he came completely into his own, knowing who he is standing before God, self-possessed, the beloved Son. You know, in the class that I taught on Lectio Divina, we talked about this too. You know, once you turn to Scripture, Scripture is a very powerful prayer. It is the prayer. You have to be able to take a text of Scripture and allow the Spirit to speak through those words, because the words are not just printed on a page. Those words are alive because God is alive. And so throughout the day, you might find ways that the word that you have chosen for that particular day from your Lectio Divina, from your reading of Scripture in the morning, might be something that you call to mind throughout the day. We use little tricks to do that. People in the office will laugh because I've put a chiming clock in every room in the office. Religious orders always have a grandfather clock in the vestibule. They always have chiming clocks throughout their house because you can use that chime as a reminder to bring back to your memory the word of God that you heard that morning at Mass, or perhaps the word of God that you read in your prayer. But you can also use fasting as a tool. Every time you feel hungry, that's a reminder for you to recall that word of God. Bring that presence of God closely into your life. This is the most basic understanding of why we fast during the season of Lent. Anyway, Jesus enters into this temptation, and boy, the devil doesn't give him any break, does he? Because after 40 days, I think it's an understatement, St. Luke says he was hungry because he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. Imagine. And we have all these shows on TV where people can't last 22 days, you know, in these survival shows. So the first temptation the devil comes at him with, focusing on his hunger. Turn this stone into bread. You can do it. You're God. And Jesus responds with Scripture, doesn't he? A passage of Scripture. Because he wrote Scripture, basically. He's the one who inspired it to happen in the first place. He is the Word made flesh, after all. He responds with Scripture, not by bread alone does man live. You could almost hear in his words that divine awareness, self-awareness, speaking about humanity, It is not by bread alone that man lives, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the second temptation comes, and the devil, who's the king of deception, he says, well, you know, all this is mine anyway, so I'm going to give you a little if you want some. Just worship me. This is where Jesus now uses his human perspective to speak about his divinity. Very much self-aware of who he is. Fully God, he can't possibly worship a creature, no matter how arrogant that creature might be. He responds with scripture again. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Well, the devil's getting smart, if you notice, because in the third temptation, the devil uses scripture to try to get Jesus to do what he wants him to do. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's from the Psalms. This is where the devil thinks, well, if I'm going to get him at all, I'm going to get him in his vanity, because he clearly knows who he is, both human and divine. Let me see if I can bring about some kind of temptation that will touch his vanity, trying to get to the motive of what Jesus is trying to do. And Jesus responds again with sacred scripture, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. As we begin the season of Lent, what I want to say most important is that this scripture is forming the basis of everything that Jesus does in battling these temptations. And scripture sometimes is the thing that we most overlook. You know, we can say we're trying to pray all the time and we're trying to do all these good things, but we could completely overlook scripture altogether. The motive of what we do must be, everything must be done for the other. That's what love is, right? To desire to know and to desire and seek the good for the other, to be oriented away from yourself for the other, and to share yourself completely. This was the mission of Jesus, and we see it already now in these earliest moments of his public life. Next Sunday, I'm going to have the opportunity to preach at all the masses as we begin our parish mission in 40 hours. And I'm going to spend the whole first conference on Monday night speaking about the importance of this process of being in the desert, how we have to call ourselves out of ourselves and turn back to God, to literally return to God from whence we came. But Jesus today gives us this first example on this first Sunday of Lent. Let us ask God to help us to know ourselves as he reveals himself as the center of who we are.